You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You need to know what's happening. It's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConforta.
Baldy and Jason and I know that all of this crap could change on Thursday and certainly, you know, before then next week. So just understand, this is not us mock drafting, okay? We are literally going in order because that's what we think is going to happen. And then if it changes, it does. All right, let's talk about the Vegas Raiders, guys. Quarterback, right? Quarterback, Baldy?
Well, I think, you know, I think if they want to compete truly, you know, with Kansas City, they've got to grade the position. But I don't know if this is the year at 13. They're sort of in that spot where they can't get one of the elite ones unless they move. If you look at what they're doing right now, I mean, Christian Wilkins was a huge signing, a big, big commitment to the defensive front. Like, why don't you just finish it with the offensive line? You lost to Luminar. You don't have a right guard right now. Like, whether it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, like, I think they're serviceable. We've seen what Gardner did last year. They could – certainly there's a quarterback if they want to move up. I don't think they're in a position to give up a whole lot of assets to go try and get one of these guys and probably have to forego some of your assets next year as, you know, they try to build this thing. So, to me, like, they're sitting there. They need a right tackle in the worst way. Like, Fuaga looks like you could plug and play him. J.C. Latham, if he's there, you could plug and play him. They made a mistake on Alex Leatherwood 3 years ago. The guy's not even in the league. Like, he didn't like football. It was a bad pick. You got to eat it. It's just like New Orleans, like we just spoke about. Penny was a bad pick. Like, you can't sweep it under the rug. Illuminar filled in for 2 years. He was serviceable. I think they got an upgraded position. Like, just keep building in the trenches. Like, they've got some skilled people, you know, with the Raiders. Like, just keep building up front. And I don't think you could go wrong right now.
Jason, we spent time talking about them making the right hire at head coach. I think we all like the hire, right? They made the right decision. They didn't screw that up by trying to go out and do more than what they needed to do. How much input does Antonio have, fellas, do you think, going into this? This is his first draft, right? I mean, how much do you think this is a collaboration or this is the new GM who's come in and said, hey, this is how I want to kind of build? What do you guys think?
I can tell you this. It's a very interesting dynamic. Like, this is not hype. Like, this isn't like hyperbole. Like, this isn't like I'm not taking verbal creative license. I have heard from multiple people who would know that, like, Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco met after Tom Telesco was hired. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, why don't you guys get on the phone for 5 minutes before I decide if you're a coupling? Like, literally, I don't think they had each other's phone numbers when Telesco agreed to take the job. Like, all that's like, They have no ties, no connections. They never crossed paths. They knew nothing of each other other than one knew that one guy's a coach and one knew that one guy was, you know, an executive with you know, and ran the Chargers for a long time. So it's different. Like, I know a lot of guys who are close to Telesco. They thought Telesco was going to go play golf and just, like, reset his batteries for, like, a year. Like, yeah. Mark Davis fell in love with him, and I think just kept throwing money at him until he's like, so it was and Mark Davis is not like a lot of owners. Like, you can walk into Mark Davis's office whenever. Like, I don't think Antonio Pierce feels like I got to set an appointment with the secretary to go upstairs and see the boss. So I think everybody's got a direct line to him. I'll just tell you what I've heard about the Ravens. I've heard that they are all about trying to get a franchise quarterback now if they can get one. I've heard that they're all about Jaden Daniels and he's all about them. And if Washington doesn't take him, like, could they trade with New England at 3? Maybe, but I'm hearing New England is way more inclined to keep that pick now than I would have told you 2 weeks ago. So, like, if they can't get Jaden Daniels there, if let's just say it goes Williams, McCarthy for this exercise, Daniels, or whatever order, then I think they're going to stay where they are. And if Michael Penix is there, I think they're going to take Michael Penix. That's what I think. I hear that they're comfortable with the medicals. I hear they really like the player. And if they can't move heaven and earth to get Daniels, I would not be surprised if Penix is the pick.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Penix, did he surprise you guys with this pro day and his, the way he ran? Listen, he's not a runner, right? We didn't see him particularly run the ball or design RPOs and all that stuff. But I was surprised at how fast he was. I was a little bit taken back. I didn't think he was that fast.
I've gotten to know Michael over the year, and I had him on my podcast like after the combine, and he didn't run. He was coming back from a little bit of a injury, whatever. But he when I said, "How are you going to run?" I said, "You know, you're like in the high 4.6s," and he laughed at me. He goes, "Fine, I'll be in the low 4.4s." And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you're Anthony Richardson, sure. He's Anthony Richardson. And yeah, like, he didn't run a lot at Washington, but when he did, when he had to, he ran away from just about everybody. He's a very good athlete. I think people have gotten to understand that whatever happened in Indiana with the shoulder and the knees, like, he's past that. He just played 27 straight games. He's my second best quarterback in this draft. I think if Seattle or the Raiders or – Denver, we'll get to them. Like, I think anybody that takes him is going to like him. I mean, you listen to him explain the game and his decision-making. I don't think there's many guys that can explain it the way he does.
You just said, Boldy, I want to hear you. He's your second best in this draft?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, behind Caleb. I have him as the second best quarterback in this draft.
Okay, because a lot of people, as you know, we hear all this stuff. You do the tape breakdowns, you know. That's interesting because a lot of people keep thinking he is going to be the fourth or fifth guy taken only because of the draft order. Maybe a team sees him as highly and takes him higher. All right.
Well, a lot of it, though, Carl, real quick. I mean, a lot of it is who he goes to.
Correct.
Who's being coached by. And do they have stability? And what's the plan? Because we've seen these guys all go at the top of the leaderboard every year, and they just fail. But they're set up to fail. You know, Zach Wilson going to New York is set up to fail. Now, whether he's overdrafted or not, he's set up to fail. Who cares about off-platform throws and all this nonsense? Can they read a defense? Can they process information? Can you get the ball out? You know, I mean, these are the things that you have to pay attention to. And, you know, and then you have like if Mahomes went to a bad organization, would he be Patrick Mahomes now? Right. Probably not. He's in a perfect spot. It was perfectly handled and still is. But very few guys get that luxury.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. All right. As we continue with this, Vegas 13, Denver at 12. What the hell is Sean Payton thinking here? What, guys, speaking of quarterbacks, right? Don't they need one? Doesn't he have to make some kind of move to move up in this draft and maybe go get one of these guys we're talking about? What happens, Baldy and Jason here with the Broncos?
Well, they just paid the Pittsburgh Steelers a whole bunch of money to get Russell Wilson out of it. And if you're going to do that, you're going to tell me that Jared Stidham, who started the last two games last year, he's got four starts in his career, is your starting quarterback next year. How in the world are you going to honestly go compete for this year, next year, and succeeding years in that division? Because we know the Chargers are going to be better.
Yeah.
Like Denver made a little bit of a run when the defense started taking the ball away in record numbers last year, and they got back. And then the offense just failed them, and they paid Russell to go away. Like, they have to get this thing right. They've got it. They can't just take a quarterback. They've got to get the quarterback that Sean Payton feels. And he spent a year at Fox studying all these quarterbacks. And now he's in this league, and he's like, Russell's not my guy. Like, they have to get this right. And I think they have to do it this year, Jason.
I'm not sure about the this year part. Had three GMs this week tell me that. Now, maybe it's playing games, but they think Denver is pretty inclined to move down right now. And the more you kind of think about it, it's like, let's say, I know we're going to get to Minnesota in a minute, but let's say Minnesota takes one. And Sean doesn't have the draft capital to move up. And I know in the past, he's had no problem mortgaging future drafts. That's when he had a core of players to play with. He doesn't even have a core of players to play with right now. Right? So it's like, if six are going in the first round and seven teams need quarterbacks, one of those teams is going to be the one. And 3 weeks ago, I would have said it's New England. One of those teams is going to say, boy, we're really crap right now. And this kid's probably going to get beat up pretty good, whoever we take year one. And if three or four or five already go before we pick and we're not going to trade up, then are we kind of better off letting six or seven go this year? Maybe somebody takes Rattler and he plays too and they like him. And then what is the need going to be next year? And then I'm sitting there saying, wonder if Sean Payton's been on a golf course with Deion Sanders in Colorado at any time in the last, you know, since they both got to town. And right, Deion's put out a lot of stuff about, you know, where my son might want to play and not want to play. Like, wouldn't that be a perfect fit? Like, would he have been QB2 or QB3, maybe even QB1 this year? Like, it'd be a conversation, right? So I know Sean a little bit. So I'm just thinking he's like, he loved Caleb Williams. He loved some of these kids. Like, could he just go and take Penix? He could. But if you're a little worried about the medical, and let's face it, 2 weeks before the trade deadline, the Denver Broncos were willing to talk to you about anybody. Certain, like, Sean had reached a point where he's like, all right, this is a total reboot. Then they won a couple games, and some other teams had some injuries, and they pulled a bunch of guys off the market. But, like, he did some cold, hard calculus in late October and was like, holy shit, it's going to be a minute before we're good. So even if they get QB5, if they get Penix, are they winning more than five games this year? And, like, are they going to protect him the way he'd like? So to me now, I'm starting to become convinced he can trade back, still get a stud offensive lineman, get more assets for next year in case he does have to make a move to get
Sanders. I don't know I don't know anybody that will trade up to number 12 or 13 right now, Jason. Now, maybe if one of these quarterbacks –
unless you want to jump somebody for a quarterback, if you want to get ahead of the Raiders for Penix.
Yeah, that's possible right there. If they feel like Penix is on the slide or, you know, or JJ or whoever, like, I don't – you know, whoever it might be. Like, I guess that's possible, and then you have to take the phone call for sure.
Look, maybe he just takes Bo Nix because I've heard he loves Bo Nix. Like, he really likes Bo Nix and he's comfortable with him. But, like, that's a little
rich
for Bo Nix, right? And if Bo Nix isn't it, now you missed the chance to get more draft capital this year, and you're probably not taking another one in the top five next year. So, I don't know. Again, who knows this time of year? But I'm now starting to convince myself that they are the one who's going to pull back, lay out, because we can't get into the top three or four. And, we're going to be all about Sanders next year.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's interesting. Yeah, and when he was in New Orleans, right, you talked about it. I mean, he had a really good team that he could just simply add to. He's building.
He thought Marcus Davenport was putting them over the top. He didn't think Marcus Davenport's a guy who 3 years from now he's going to be great. No, he thought we needed it. Like, you know what I mean?
We have two number one draft picks to go get him. He's on his third team.
Right, because he thought they were on the cusp of a Super Bowl and one player away. What position group do you look at with Denver right now and say they're absolutely set? Like, anywhere?
No, nowhere. All right, We continue to count down. As we move into next week, guys, we'll get into the top 10 before the draft. We'll give you, obviously, what we think is going to happen with the top five team. Let's talk about Minnesota. They lose Kirk Cousins, quarterback. Do you trust what they've done and what they brought in, or are they also in this quarterback mix? Again, we told you we are not projecting that these moves happen. We know they will. But Baldy and Jason, these three teams we just talked about, Vegas, Denver, and Minnesota, all could do something to go get a quarterback, and Minnesota obviously could too. Baldy, if not, what other position do they need?
Well, they just lost their three top pass rushers in Danielle Hunter, DJ Wanham, and Marcus Davenport. So they just lost. Now, they brought in Jonathan Greener, you know, from Houston. But, you know, defensive end is certainly a need position right now for this team. So you could look at that for sure. But look, you know, I think that if they would go get a quarterback, or if they sat there at 11, somebody fell to them, or somebody dropped to 23 and they took a quarterback, wherever they would get one, if they get one, they're going to be in a good situation. I mean, I don't think anybody doesn't think Kevin O'Connell can coach. It seems like every single coach in this league right now has a connection to Sean McVay, whether it's Washington or Los Angeles. I mean, between the coordinators that are being hired, the head coaches that are coming out of there, like, he has an idea how to – and now you put a healthy Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson with a pretty good offensive line. Like, you've got the makings of – and Aaron Jones comes on board. You got the makings of a pretty good offense. And, look, Sam Darnold, wherever he is, the only place he's ever had any stability in his entire career was last year in San Francisco. He probably thought, oh, after 5 years – this is what the NFL is about. Because I didn't know in New York or Carolina what it was about. So maybe Sam, you know, just says new beginnings. You know, Josh McCown, he went to work every day with him as a rookie with the Jets. He's his quarterback coach in Minnesota. There's familiarity. Maybe Sam steps in and plays well. But if they take a quarterback, great. Let Sam play himself out of that job. And then you use some rookie quarterback in there. Either way, where they trade up, stay at 11, take one at 23. I think a quarterback is coming on board, and I think it's going to be a good situation with him.